May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, can any of you remember being born?
Raphael, can you remember being born? I think so. No, I can't.
I don't think any of us can remember being born. But you probably can remember your last birthday.
Can you remember your last birthday? You had a good party or something, yeah? Yeah.
Okay, well, today we celebrate the birthday of the church. Not this church, here at St. Ursula's, but the very beginning of there being any church at all. We can't remember it ourselves because we weren't there, but we can read about it in the Bible, and we can celebrate it, which is what we do every Pentecost. The church was born because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Before the Spirit came, there were some disciples, some followers of Jesus, but after the Spirit comes, they become a new community that gets bigger and bigger and bigger until we have a church all across the world, which we have today, with lots of people from different countries. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll see that in many parts of the Bible, we hear the Spirit brings new life and growth. Right at the beginning, in creation, the Spirit moves over the water and creates life. The Spirit comes upon Mary after the angel announces that she's going to have a son who will be called Jesus. The Spirit leads to his birth, a new beginning for the world. And today we celebrate the Spirit coming upon the first disciples and the beginnings, the birth of the church. So let's imagine it. The friends of Jesus are all together in one place. Now, do you know how many there were? How many people do you think there were all gathered together in one place? What do you think? We might think it's the 12 disciples. But actually, Luke said earlier that there's a group of people together worshipping God, and there were about 120 of them. So, I don't know if you're going to count them, but I've got a group of people here. I don't know whether it's 120, but let's say there's 120 people there, okay? Now, in that group, I think Raphael's counting. In that group, we know that it included Mary, the mother of Jesus, and lots of other women who followed Jesus. And it's on this group, a group of men and women, that the Spirit is poured out. And it fulfills what was said in the prophet Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, old and young, men and women alike. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? Or rather, who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is God himself. God's presence with them, within them, and among them. Jesus had promised his friends that God would send this gift, they should wait for it, and this was the day, Pentecost, when the Spirit came. And we told the Spirit was like a rushing wind and like fire. Now, I couldn't find a suitable picture for a rushing wind, it's a bit difficult. But here we are, there's our 120, and there's a flame over there. Okay, so they're all together in one place where the Spirit comes. Now, notice it says that the Spirit doesn't say the Spirit is wind or is fire. It says the Spirit is like a rushing wind and like fire. Luke is trying to describe something which is very hard to put into words. Something dramatic, full of life and energy and warmth and power. And the Spirit comes upon them when they are all together worshipping God in a group. But it also, the Spirit comes upon each individual in tongues of flame, men and women. So that's something very important, that each one of us, when we believe in Jesus, receives the Spirit. The Spirit also wants to work in us as a group, a community of people, and draws us together. Now we're told that the first followers of Jesus are filled with the Spirit. We've heard about wind, we've heard about fire. Thinking about being filled with the Spirit may make you think about water, which is another picture of the Spirit in the Bible. The Spirit fills us
like living water. This is the first time that the disciples are filled with the Spirit, but it's not the last time, because they're filled many times. And Paul tells us in the New Testament we should go on being filled with the Spirit again and again and again. One famous preacher once said, "Why do I need to be filled with the Spirit again and again? Because I leak." Describe himself a bit like a leaking bucket, and there are other writers who use that image too. Damaged, with holes in, so you have to keep being filled again and again because the Spirit is not going to stay in you. So we have to be filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. So what do these first followers of Jesus do with the Spirit? Or, rather, what does the Spirit do with them? The Spirit gives them joy and courage and sends them out to share the good news about Jesus with others. They don't stay in that house. The Spirit gives them boldness to go out. After Jesus' resurrection, they were huddled in a room and they didn't dare go out. They had locked doors. But now the Spirit has come upon them and they're going out into the street and they're going to tell people the good news about Jesus. And when they tell people about the good news, they're speaking in different languages. They're speaking in the languages of all the different people and they can all understand it. There were a very large number of people in Jerusalem on that day because it was a special festival celebrating giving thanks for the harvest. So Jewish believers from all over the world, the known world at that time, many different places, which Chloe had to let her tongue around, all those different places, Jewish believers had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. So at that time, they were all Jews from different countries, but this points ahead to when people from many different nations, Jews and non-Jews, will believe in Jesus. Indeed, this is what the church is, born at Pentecost. It's what it's going to grow into, a community from every tribe, language, people and nation, as it says in the book of Revelation. So the Spirit fills the disciples with life and energy and sends them out to tell others the good news of Jesus, each in their own language. And what happens then? Well, Peter gives a very long sermon. And we heard a little bit of that sermon in our reading when Peter tells the people the Spirit is being poured out in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Joel. "I will pour out my Spirit on all people, old and young, men and women." But Peter then goes on, later in his sermon, to talk more about Jesus and about Jesus' death and resurrection, that he is the Lord and the Messiah. And at the end, the main point of Peter's sermon is to tell people they should believe in Jesus and receive the Spirit. And all this is the work of God, the Father. We can't talk about the Spirit without talking about Jesus and the Father. The Spirit always points to Jesus. So can you see this diagram here? Purity, okay, see, there's lots of arrows on it, okay? So the Spirit will always point to Jesus. Jesus is the one who promises the Spirit. The Father sends the Son, Jesus, into the world, and Jesus reveals what the Father is like. The Father sends the Spirit, and the Spirit enables us to know God and call God our Father. We heard that in our gospel reading. Jesus talks about both the Father and the Spirit. He tells his disciples if they've seen him, they've seen the Father. And he tells them that the Father is going to send them the Spirit of truth, who will be with them and in them, teach them and guide them. And the Spirit doesn't just teach information about Jesus and the Father. The Spirit enables us to meet Jesus and the Father and be drawn into his love. And we're going to hear more about that next Sunday on Trinity Sunday. So today we celebrate the birthday of the
church. We rejoice that we are a part of the church, a people from many different countries and communities drawn by the Spirit to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like the children to come out and give me a hand. Could you come out? I would like you, okay, take hold of this. I want you to make a semicircle. Okay, if you hold that end, Raphael, okay, over there, go and stand about there. Keep holding it round, okay? And we're going to make a semicircle, so come in a bit more this way. Everybody hold a bit. You can come around here, Raphael, yeah. Let's not have a straight line, let's have it a bit like a little circle. Come over here, okay? Raphael, that's great. You come around here. Okay, you can stand behind you, it's probably better. Stand behind you to hold it. Okay, ready? Stand on this side, yeah? That's it, a base proxy. Come round a little bit like this. Okay, now, you are the church, okay? A people of every tribe, language, people and nation. This is the church that begins on the day of Pentecost. And right at the centre of the church, holding us all together, is the Spirit. Can you hold that up high as well? Give it to the other hand. Okay, the Spirit holds us all together. The Spirit comes upon each person, men and women. Hold that up there. Okay? And the Spirit will draw us into a deeper relationship with Jesus and the Father. And the Spirit, Raphael, will send us out to say, tell the good news about Jesus to others, all kinds of different people. That's why in this, it's going to be a semicircle, in this semicircle there's lots of room for other people to come and join into the church. So let's pray that we will always be open to the Spirit in our fellowship here at St. Ursula's. Let's pray for the Spirit, not just once. Let's pray that the Spirit will be upon us and fill us over and over again. Because